Word, if you turn over in the 21st, do some talking tonight from the depth of our heart. And it might be some things I say, as usual, will cross up your idea. But I just trust that you'll study together and keep your heart open to God and let Him direct you. One beautiful thing about the Church of God, you don't have to line up with just what a man feels or believes. Amen. All you have to do is obey God and His eternal word. And thank God the Spirit of God will still make truth clear and give us that which we need to lay hold of. Now when I begin to talk on a subject tonight a little while and study together, you may be troubled even as I was when God began to stir my heart along this line, and I begin to think in terms of Wednesday night and a time when the church was kind of gathered together, but God kept bringing me back to it, even yesterday evening and this afternoon. So I want to talk a little while to the young people on the thought of choosing a companion. Now, isn't that strange? Somebody said, that's not a subject for Sunday night. Well, you've got somebody that agrees with you. I didn't think it was either. But I want to listen to the Lord. Amen. I would say this, because of our love for the young people of this congregation, we speak along this line, and we speak as words of warning. They used to tell me when I was a boy that an ounce of prevention was worth a pound of cure. And I guess that's so. I think I live long enough to find out that's true. So if an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, some word to help you before you get into trouble is worth 16 times as much as words to help you out.
Amen.
After you get in trouble. So I believe that tonight that the message then would be worth 16 messages of telling you how to get out of predicament you got into because you went on and lived in sin and didn't live for God. So we just want to study some plain things from God's word. See, dear ones, we're living in a world where they tell us that divorce rate is up 4,000%. And we just have to face the fact, without speaking evil of any individual, amen, that certainly the Bible makes room for divorce. If it's a necessity, God's rule is one man and one woman for life. But in the case where some sadness happens, the Lord gave one Bible reason for divorce. But we have to face the fact we're living in a world that's shaping up to the place of a modern Sodom. And because of that, the doors is being opened wide on every side for sin. They're making it easy for people to sin. And along, my friend, with the thought of making it easy for people to sin, we see the ways being opened up. Even though a people that know divorce just for any cause and done in such a free manner as the world is doing it is wrong, yet, my friend, more and more the trend is to open up the doors and turn it loose. We've got now what they call a no-fault divorce. Just for a certain amount of money, the man and woman can go down and say, neither one's at fault. We're just pleasingly, quietly, once separated so we can marry someone else, and away we go. Friend, you know this is just going to open up the door for more sadness, more broken homes, more little children without their right fathers and mothers. And on we go, on, on. My friend, so along the line we feel deeply impressed every little bit by the help of God, and certainly we need God to help us how to lift up a standard against these things. Friend, I say it's a sad thing when they tell us, I don't know about it for sure, I just know what to read, that divorce rate is up 4,000%. But I'd come on down to some things we do know about. Millions of homes tonight where companions are unhappy, but they're just living together for respectability. Come on, as far as there being a home there, as far as there being respect, as far as there being real love, as far as there being real fellowship, it isn't a bit more there, amen, than in some home that's already separated. But because of respectability, they're sticking together and making a home supposed to be a home and living on out. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, why do you bring that up? I want you to look at some things. And then there's homes. I hate to say, but sometimes I wonder if right within the own congregation there isn't homes where sadness dwells and a lack of real communion and fellowship between husband and wife. Amen. Being robbed of the preciousness that God ordained for you to enjoy. Now we're glad tonight. I want to try to work both sides of the street. We're thankful tonight for homes where men and women have found God and their problems solved. Amen. And their problems worked out and their homes back together. And many are happy, living happy as husband and wife. We're glad for that. And I want to say right here, God is able to take a home in the worst condition and straighten it out if father and mother will turn their lives over to God in the right way. But in the face of the fact that God is able to do all of that, we're trying to speak to the youth tonight to save you from many hurtful snares. Amen. I want you to see tonight, by the help of God, and I know you know it, but I want to tell you over and over again, my friend, you can save yourself a lot of scars. You can save yourself a lot of snares. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, you don't have to worry. Just get to God and He'll work it all out. Even though God works it all out, you can take the testimony of those where God has worked it out. They've got hurts. They've got bruises. They've got sore places, amen, in their lives that they never would have had to have if they'd have listened to God's eternal word and walked according to the word of truth and been a little more careful in choosing companions. Amen. In Proverbs 18:22, the wise man has something to say, and we're going to go a little while. It shouldn't take us too long to find your wife. If you're really anxious and willing. Proverbs 18:22 said, whoso findeth a wife. Right away we begin to see that not everybody finds one. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Somebody said, I believe that. When you get a wife, you've got a good thing. He goes on. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. Now, you just don't find it by hit or miss or chance. If you got a good wife, the Lord favored you. The Lord was in this thing.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when it comes to matrimony, I'm afraid that too many of our young people wants the Lord to keep His nose out. But I'm here to tell you, and I say that lightly, but I mean it wholeheartedly. My friend, we can take an attitude that when we go choose a companion, when we want to get a wife, we want to get a husband, we want to get someone that pleases us. We're seeking for someone that satisfies us. Well, I'll go along with that as far as the Bible go along with it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you get a good wife, if you get what the Bible calls a wife, and you study, and that's more than a woman. Man, you can get a woman in a half hour. Just a telephone call. Amen. But when you get a wife that'll fill the position of a companion that God's ordained for you to enjoy. See, friend, somebody said, preacher, you're supposed to be preaching on salvation. You're meddling. No, I'm not meddling. I'm here to say salvation is life. Salvation, real salvation, gets into every level of man's life. Real salvation affects man in all the moves of his life. I'm here to say tonight that God wants to be more to people than too many will let Him be. So he said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Now we could just take the opposite and go over the 21st chapter of Proverbs and verse 9. See, friend, this thing of getting married and seeking a companion, a lifetime companion, is a bigger proposition than too many of our youth is considering. And this is the thing that troubles me. See, I spend a good part of my time working with problems of broken homes. And brother, those are sad-hearted conditions. Especially if you take them to heart. They'll break your heart. Amen. And I just felt, you know, today, this past week, latter part of the week, it came on me so forcibly that while I'm working so trying to repair some circumstances, why don't you take a little time, write in a service, and help the young people try to head off some of these conditions by getting them to seek the Lord and let Him direct you and see that a good companion is a favor of the Lord. The Lord's favored you. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, if you want Him to favor you, you're going to have to live where you honor Him, and He'll honor you, and He'll favor you. See, we can't get along without Him. This old independent spirit that the youth get, I'll take care of myself. You can't. You can't. Oh, I can't. No, nobody ever has. Nobody ever has. There isn't one person can stand up and say he took care of himself. It's not in the ways of man to direct his own steps. Your steps are going to be directed by one master or the other, whichever one you yield to. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil don't hand out good companions. Amen, because he hasn't got them to hand out. Oh, the great deception that the enemy works over our youth tonight, making them feel that we don't want God, we don't want church, we don't want that business, but yet all the time they want the good favors of life. They want a good companion, good home, good family. Those are some of the additives to real salvation. Those are some of the things that God said He'd add to you if you'd seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But the enemy make you feel that you can have these things anyway. Now don't take me wrong. I'm not saying that anyone that's out in sin and not serving God, amen, none of them got a good companion. I'd be foolish to make such a statement. I don't even ever think such a thing. But you're a little different shape than they're in. Especially when you're saints of God's children, sitting in the congregation, the church of God, somebody out there God may have a lot of mercy on that don't know any better, but you know better. But you know better. And this is the thing that troubles me. Over in Proverbs, the 21st chapter and the 9th verse, here's the other side of it. The wise man said, and if you found a wife, you found a good thing, and the Lord favored you. And I never look at this verse that I don't have to take a good hard laugh, and I don't want to laugh in front of you, but it's always funny to me, because this thing was carried out in a western state where I was holding a meeting. This verse said it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling or squabbling, noisy, quarrelsome woman in a wide house. What he said is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. Somebody said, why are you laughing? Well, there was a man in this congregation where I was holding a revival. I was going to say he wasn't too bright, but he might have been brighter, and I'm giving him credit. Anyway, the pastor told me he should have never gotten married, but he did. And he married one of them noisy and quarrelsome women. And he called for the pastor to come over. We're having trouble. And he went over, there he was. He had a single bed on the porch roof laying on it. And when he walked up, the pastor said, what in the world are you doing? And he quoted that scripture. Better to dwell on the corner of the housetop than in a wide house with a noisy woman. He moved his bed out during the night and was sleeping on the housetop. And he had Bible for the move he made. What are you going to do in a case like that? my friend, laying the fun aside, there's a seriousness there. The wise man tell me you can end up. He's merely telling you can end up with a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, by going out here and acting on your own and choosing a companion for the many reasons that you yourself would choose one. My friend, you can get tied up to something that'll give you a lot of heartache and misery, and you'd wish, you'd be sorry for the day you ever saw the woman or saw the man. It works both ways. Amen. And you pray just like the wise man said, Lord, if I could get out of this, I'd rather live on a corner of the roof than to live in this house. We can't paint the picture black enough of we think when we think of the things that can happen in the experience of marriage and is happening on every side and can happen to any one of you. Unless we seek God's face and live for God, live close to Him. Back in Genesis, my friend, the sixth chapter, we want to look at another familiar scripture. My friend, this great responsibility that's ours in choosing a life companion. Friend, the reason it's such a great responsibility, it reaches to future generations. See, when we make a choice of a companion and children are born in, my friend, this responsibility reaches clear to future generations. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, I want you to see. I talk to my boys sometimes, and I better be careful because I suppose some of them got their wives here tonight. But they can tell you, I've quoted this scripture to them more than once. They're looking for a good-looking girl. And Dad had to tell them more and more and more over and over. There's more to getting a good companion than getting a good-looking one. Amen, because they'll lose them looks. Oh, yeah. I used to be good looking. I'm a living expression of what happens. My wife told me that before, but it's been a long, long time. Why? She's a Christian. I don't want her to lie to me. But there's more to choosing a companion and to look on a lady that looks fair. In Genesis 6th chapter, let's read here and see just exactly the picture of it. It came to pass that when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Or the Septuagint version, the original Hebrew, said that they were beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I'd like to clarify that verse as I go along. We've got millennials teachers and radio preachers that tells you there that the sons of God that married the daughters of men was fallen angels. But all you have to do is turn to Luke's gospel, and Jesus tells you the angels don't marry. Amen. Well, this isn't angels marrying, falling out of heaven, marrying human beings here on the earth. It's the sons of God who were God's people, called Christians of that day, marrying a worldly, ungodly women, and marrying them just because they were beautiful to look upon. They acted, my friend, completely on the human, physical level. Just married according to their own lusts and the lust of their eyes and the lust of the flesh. And those women were fair. They were beautiful to look upon. So they chose them. And brother, when they did that, you read that second verse and come right on down through. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit, I want you to see when this thing began, if you'll read through the fifth verse and see what it produced, my friend, you'll see that begin to wear God's Spirit out. My spirit will not always strive with men. Somebody said, why? We'll read right on down through. And he said, for those there were giants in the earth those days, and also after, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children unto them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Now what's the picture? I want you to see what was the background of the antediluvian world that God looked on and said he repented that he ever made man. He was sick of the whole mess. Where did it start? Backslidden fathers marrying unsaved mothers produced children that were corruptors, ungodly, whose thoughts were evil, to the place that the Lord destroyed millions of them, wiped them out, men, women, and children. Now I say anything that hateful to God, I want you to read that when them sons of God begin to marry women, just choosing them because after the flesh and not looking to God and let him direct them, my friend, it begin to wear God's Spirit out. He said, my spirit will not always strive with men. I give him 120 years. It brought forth a sad condition. I say the outgrowth of it began to wear God's Spirit out, and did wear it out. Took his long suffering to the place, my friend, until he destroyed the then known world. Oh, dear ones, tonight, may God help us, especially the young people, to stop and consider tonight. This thing of marriage is more than just finding a companion. And I'd just like to rest your minds tonight in every way possible. I don't know whether it'd be well to speak on it publicly, but I've done studying on it because of individuals asking questions. There's lots of questions today because man is coming up with so many things, and the laws and the World Council of Churches is backing this and backing that when it's just as sinful as it can be by God's eternal word. Friend, we just need to stop and consider. I want to encourage you tonight, child of God, amen. No matter how long you've been saved and how long you've waited for a companion, if God hasn't definitely given you one yet, don't get weary in your well-doing. I've told you many times there's only one thing worse than having no man. That's having the wrong one. Amen. There's one thing wrong that worse than having the wrong woman. Amen. Or having no woman, that's having the wrong one. If God doesn't want you to have a companion, wait on God. You rest assured of this, that God loves you. If you really love God, God loves you. And he said, no good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. If it's for you to have a companion, he'll come around. Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, there ain't any. He'll make one. Come on, there wasn't no companion for Adam. God made that man, and he looked over all the animals and fish, and he said, there ain't none of these things can be a companion for him. I'll make him one. Brother, he made him one. And when he made her, thank God, she was just right. She was just right. She suited the cause perfectly. Somebody said, well, she caused man to sin, all this. Well, we'll not go into that. I'm getting clear back to the beginning where God made her. She was just right. And then I want to go a step farther. God help us tonight. I say this because more than one is interested. And I say it because others may have it in your mind. Listen to me, dear friend. First of all, trust God for that companion. If you're to have a companion, he's already made somewhere. God knows where it is. God knows where she is. Somebody said, oh, you're just being foolish now. I know that. You'll think I'm more foolish than that before I get done. God knows where they are. And if God doesn't bring it to pass, you better rest it right there and not have it. So we need to look here just as sure as God's in heaven. Back to the young people. Friend, tonight, when we begin to look at the sadness of this condition, oh, what sadness men and women are in tonight. I want you to see, young people, you better choose a companion that knows and loves the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't begin, if I was a young person, I wouldn't begin to think about getting married or choosing a companion if I wasn't right with God. Why? There's too much at stake. Outside of salvation, that's the biggest decision a man ever makes in his life. And you know, brother, we've got to face it. There's no guarantee comes with it. You take them as is. Amen. It works both ways, and the same is true for the women. Brother, when you take them as is, what do you mean as is? For better or for worse? See, I bought a few automobiles on an as is deal. They sold them to me for dealer's wholesale. But I had to take it just like it is. No guarantee. If it falls apart when you get a block down the street, it's yours. Well, that's the way you take a companion. For better or for worse. Forward, reverse. Come on, you take a life sentence tied up to that individual. No guarantee. I say when we need to face that, amen, why, there's just lots of people that would look over a used car better, I guess, than they do a woman or a husband. They just want a husband or a wife so bad. You're going to buy an automobile as is, you look it over. You know that. Sherman's shaking his head. He's bought some. You look it over, and after you looked it over, you probably got took bad enough. But you look it over. Back and look at the tailpipe, see if it's burnt black. Start it up and rev the engine. Because if she smokes, she drinks. Amen. And it's mostly that way with the women, too. Amen. This thing's a little more serious. You're not letting me be serious. People realize, amen. I say we need some help. We need some help. And oh, what a blessed thing it is to have the Lord for your helper. Amen. The one who holds eternity in his hand, that knows the future just as well as you know the past. Thank God he knows all about it. You can enter into this great experience of matrimony, thank God, with the Lord leading you and directing you, and be solid in the move you make, and be certain that you're making the right move, and find the full happiness that God's ordained for you to enjoy. You better choose one that serves the Lord, dear one. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, and when I turn there and read that verse, I'm ready to agree with you that 2 Corinthians 6:14, my friend, goes deeper than the marriage relation. I know that. It has to do, my friend, with lodges and false religions and many other things. Amen. And I also realize before I even read 2 Corinthians 6:14 that God is not telling anyone to leave your unbelieving husband. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, tells you if you got an unbelieving husband and they be pleased, stay with them. But I am saying in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he's telling you as young people not to get involved. When he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. Amen. Now come on. My friend, I say being unequally yoked together is one of the very causes for many divorces. And if you read down through there, he tells you why. Believers and unbelievers have no fellowship, no communion, no concord, no agreement on spiritual level. Amen. I know how the enemy works today and tells our youth, well, religion, it don't make too much difference. We don't care what kind of religion you got. Love will overshadow that. Love's strong enough. Listen to me, friend. Love is a strong thing. But I want you to see right now that the Bible makes plain that when you yoke believers and unbelievers together, even love's not strong enough to bridge the gap that'll hinder your fellowship and communion and concord and agreement that you could have if you were both believers. There's homes tonight are deprived of fullness of joy. Amen. And the fullness of fellowship that they could be enjoying. Now, I hope I made it plain. I'm not teaching in any way because the Bible doesn't teach. For you who are already yoked together with an unbeliever to leave them. You read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, he'll tell you what to do. I'm merely trying to help the young people tonight. I'm telling you, Paul was dealing with a people that was already involved. I'm preaching to young people trying to keep you from getting involved. Yoking up with an unbeliever because it brings sadness and heartache in many cases. We must consider tonight, certainly we must consider tonight, the spiritual level or the spiritual plane. The reason we must consider the spiritual plane is because the physical plane gives the least satisfaction in marriage. And the physical plane is a satisfaction that cannot last. Many marriages fall apart because, my friend, it wasn't real love. In many cases, it was merely lust of the flesh. It was a satisfaction of a physical desire, but physical satisfaction, just facing, can come to an end. But there's a spiritual satisfaction. Amen. With God's full blessing on the home that can last. See, friend, you may get together with a companion on physical plane and yet have no fellowship at all on the spiritual level. This is going on in homes tonight, and it makes sadness. See, one enjoys the church and the other doesn't. Amen. Now, come on. It's one thing to get enough of the grace of God to put up with these conditions, but it's another thing for me to warn you to stay out of. There's lots of things you won't need the grace of God for if you'll listen to the word of truth and stay out of. Plenty of homes tonight are blighted. They're not enjoying full satisfaction of fellowship with each other. Why? They can fellowship on every other line, but just bring up the spiritual things. And there's division in the home right now.
Amen.
And heartache and misery. This is why the Bible tells us not to be yoked together with unbelievers. One enjoys the church and others doesn't. Homes are divided on the standard of the church. The question of dress. The question of doctrine. The question of habits, fashions. How can there be fellowship when you're divided on the vital points that would bring great fellowship? See, the Bible tells you what agreement. He goes right on down through, if you'll notice those next two verses after the 14th verse in 2 Corinthians. He said, what agreement is there? If you're a Christian, you're the temple of God. What agreement is that with someone that won't have God living in their heart? So when Sunday comes, the one companion wants to go fishing, wants to go camping, wants to do anything but attend the house of God. Come on, and you're a believer and you want to go to church. And the Bible tells you as a husband to be head of your house. But if you know if you raise the standard and be head, you're going to raise the devil. Amen. Come on. So you just kind of shyly go around and you take the condemnation of having the word come down on you and come down on you and you're not measured. And what's the problem? Believers is yoked together with unbelievers. Now I want to say again, if that's a sad lot, it's something to pray about. And it's something to lay hold of the grace of God and live with it until God can work it out. But I'm preaching to you tonight, you can be headed off from all of that. Not have to go through much of that sadness. If you yield your life to God and let Him direct you and give you a companion, thank God, that loves the Lord. I say it's only when both together are on a spiritual plane that we enjoy the same thing. And that brings full happiness on every line. Thank God we can be in agreement and work together just as sure as we're here. The world and the church, we have to face it, friends. The world and the church just won't mix, even in marriage. See, this is where the devil throws the curve. This is where the devil deceives young hearts. Oh, you hear it preached that the world and the church, I won't mix, they're not of the world. And anyone that loves the world is at enmity with God. They won't mix. But yet the devil throws a curve and say, well, they'll mix all right in marriage. No, they won't mix in anything. Amen. There's separation, there's division, and there's heartache and misery of a home trying to stay together when believers and unbelievers are yoked together. Now I want to repeat again, if that's your sad plight, pray for God to save your home and put it together. But I'm preaching tonight to young people to try to head them off from some of this sadness that many people have had to put up with, just as sure we're here. So the world and the church just doesn't mix. If one enjoys the world and the other doesn't, there'll be disagreement, misunderstanding, troubles, and problems. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. Pray God to help us tonight. In 1 Corinthians 7:39, there God's word said, you are free to marry whom you will, but only in the Lord. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, that's my business. That's right. You're free to marry whomever you will, but only in the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, just putting it down plain in the Lord's direction. And I use that expression, in the Lord's direction, because let's face facts. We have to face facts, and unless you're mighty careful, living close to God and got discernment, that companion might claim an experience with God for quite a period of time. Or he might even have an experience with God, he or she, till you're married, and they may have it for a month afterwards and then lose out. And you got a real problem. I say the Lord's direction. Marrying in the Lord is more than marrying someone that claims to be a Christian. More than marrying someone that's active in the congregation. Marrying in the Lord, my friend, is in the Lord's direction. I pray that God will help us to see it. For over 20 years, we've listened to sad, heartbreaking stories of those who disobeyed and suffered ever after. That's why we feel impressed to just throw out a red light of warning before you tonight. Amen. Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, I know this individual that I'm going with really loves me, and I know that I can take my love and win him or win her, whichever way it is, after we're married. Let me tell you something. If your love can't win them before you're married, don't chance it after it, because the odds are against you. That's just another lie of the devil. makes you feel everything will work all right. Listen, friend, you might as well bump up against that wall and say it isn't going to bother me, it isn't going to slow me down, it isn't going to stop me, as to raise up against God's word and feel it'll work out all right when it's contrary to God's word. Friend, it can't work out right when it's contrary to God's word unless there's a humbling yourself before God. So we need to realize tonight, if your love can't win them before they're married, don't chance it after. Don't chance it after. Somebody said, well, I know some that got married and won their companion. Yes, sir? And for that reason, about 5 years is all you live with her. You need to be mature enough and know that the companion that you're choosing is mature enough to be a wife. You need to look beyond, as we studied back in Genesis, you need to look beyond the fairness and the beauty of the face or the body. Amen. And be fair to yourself. Somebody said, what do you mean? Check her out. See if she can cook, bake. We used to sing, you don't sing them kind of songs anymore, but the ones they sung to me when I was growing up, can she bake a cherry pie, Billy Boy? Remember that? Well, don't give her the second look if she can't. Because I can tell you right now, somebody said you take them for better or for worse. Well, I can tell you right now, it takes a long time for them to get better. Be mature enough. What do you mean mature enough? Get beyond youthful lusts. You're not ready to marry as long as you're still guided by youthful lusts. Youthful lusts cause a little boy 12 years old to fall in love with their school teacher. Come on, you've dealt with those cases. Had a pretty school teacher, and it broke your heart when you found out she's married. Because you were sure it was real love. Youthful lust. And it keeps right on working up through the early teens and even in the later teens. It causes you to just look on the beauty and that beauty and that fairness of that individual and the handsomeness of that fellow and the weight and throw a football. Just blinds you to the place. Amen, that you can't see anything else. This is why the Word of God tells you to get mature enough. Get past the youthful lust. Get mature enough to realize when you're thinking in terms of marriage, you're thinking in terms of home. You got a home. And you're going to have to be able to have a companion that can cook and bake and clean. And have a home. Oh, Brother Wilson, why you bring that up? Listen to me. Now, Brother Romine, you keep still. Ain't no chance for you. This message is not for you. You quit talking to your wife. I ain't gonna allow that. You're hooked and fixed. Ain't nothing we can do in your case. I've told you that. See, always somebody try to get their case in. Thank you, Brother Harley. That helped me out there. Need to be mature. I'm still standing on it. Amen. Past that age of youthful lusts where you can understand the seriousness of taking a companion. Right here, my friend, is where a great percentage of divorces and separations and problems that the pastors called in the middle of the night. What is it? Why, people got married young. They got married because of the beauty and the good looks. And they woke up to the fact that keeping a home takes a lot of hard work. You have to make a lot of money. And a wife has to work hard to keep a house up. And so the wrangling starts. You don't bring home enough money to pay the bill, and you don't keep a house if I had one for you. Immature. I wish there was some scripture I could find where I could close up the house, rent it to somebody else, and take them back to mama and daddy. Because they're not mature. Amen. It's so anyway. So anyway. Just jump at the thing and not mature enough to really count the cost of what being married and having a home and the responsibilities of it really is. I say we need to stop and think and look beyond the fairness and the beauty and the good looks and see whether they're the type of individual that can really make a home. Seriously tonight, I'll hurry on out. Too many problems have led to broken homes that could have been avoided. In Titus, the second chapter, I got another scripture I want to read. Titus, the second chapter. Let's look at this now. See, this thing is far-reaching. Just as I said, it reaches from one generation to another. It's something that grows. Titus, the second chapter, I want to read a few verses. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See, I'm not meddling. I'm preaching sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the aged women, likewise, he's not old, but aged. That's middle-aged. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now listen. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, where's these young girls that's going to get married? Where are they going to get this learning how to love their husband and love their children after they get them? They're supposed to get it from their mother in the home. But mom ain't there. She works. Sister Frieda Mathis knows I talked to her the other day, and I've talked to some others. If the Lord will let me. With all the busy program I've got in the spring camp meeting, some of the afternoons is going to be classes. What kind of classes? Teaching young people how to be more mature in their thinking. Teaching young girls how to keep house. They're not learning it. Well, that's not the church's business. It is when the home has failed, then the church needs to take it up. There's too many homes have been dissolved just because a young lady didn't know how to keep house. See, it's a terrible letdown when they've been used to a mother that really baked and really cooked. And then you put soup in front of them for 6 weeks. See, friend, somebody said this got nothing to do with it. You ought to preach on being set free from sin. Listen, living for God has more to do with than just being set free from sin. There's things we have to learn. Learn how to do. Face up to them. And without them, we'll get in trouble. Listen to him. That he may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, friend, that scripture means just what it says. And because people don't feel it does, come on, this is one of the non-essentials of God's word I'm preaching on. Brother preacher, club babbling, give sin a going over. Well, I love to do that too. But friend, this is just as much a portion of God's word as John 3:16 is. And when we fail to do it, we'll say we don't have to. But when we fail to do it, we'll reap the same harvest. Come on. We'll reap the very harvest that God said we'd reap. I say there's much sadness that wouldn't have to be if more dear little girls was taught. My wife can tell you, that's one thing her and I talks over quite a bit. She's a hard worker. And many times, instead of teaching the girls when they is home how to do it, she'd do it herself. She says, it's easier to do it myself. I said, yeah, but they ain't gonna learn. Training. 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 There's homes tonight, I'm just as sure as I'm here. I'm not just able to name one out, but I'm sure. There's homes tonight that wouldn't have been broken up if little ladies, when they got married, knew how to keep house. And take care of a home. Amen. Oh, friend, it's necessary. Now, this is what the Bible says. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And most everybody bats an eye when we stand down here with the young couple and they're being married, and I ask the question to the young girl or the young man first if he'll love and cherish and all these things. And then when I ask the young lady, I throw in the word obey. They kind of bat their eyes. But listen to me, friend. If the husband will be the right kind of husband, as Paul teach you how in Ephesians the 5th chapter, and love your wife even as Christ loved the church and give yourself for her, you won't have no trouble. Thank God, if she's a Christian, you won't have no trouble of her being in subjection to you and going along with you. But let me just picture something now. See, the word of God said for you to be obedient to your own husband and to teach the daughter, parents, teach the daughter how to love her husband, love the children, and how to be obedient to her husband. Now, what happens today? Friend, I'm afraid too many times we're living in a day where mom is boss. Now, come on. Mom is boss, and they'll tell you right plain, now we've got this agreement between me and my husband. He knows I'm boss, and everything goes fine. And they get along. But you know what happens? They train their daughter that way. Then she gets married. She tries the same thing. But she's got a husband who won't make that kind of agreement. And that home's dissolved. Who's really to blame? Who's really to blame? See, the children are going to go out and live just like we train them. And I say we need to look beyond our own livelihood. We may have got it worked out as husband and wife, and we can make out, we get along. But what kind of training we give our children? They're going to go out and try the same thing. But there may not be agreement there. There'd be disagreement. See, friend, there's only one way to really work, and there's only one foundation to truly stand on. That's a Bible foundation. When you do it like the Word of God declares, it'll work just as sure as we're here. So we need to look at it. I say to the young ladies tonight, somebody said you've been on the young ladies. I want to help you too. You need to be careful. Somebody said, why? You can be looking for a man and it end up with a babysitting job or just another dependence on your income tax report. You may end up with somebody to keep financially. Somebody said, why? Because that individual may not be a man. Yeah, I'm going to let you in on some truth. Not just everything out there that cuts their hair short and wears slacks is a man. You may get tied up to something that'll never be a man. Never fill his place. Never take the responsibility. You may have to steer that home and end up keeping that fella all your life. You better go a little careful and go a little slow. Amen. Oh, Brother Wilson, I'm not going to end up in that. Listen, if that fella is little enough, I don't care who he is, and I can't say this too straight or too hard. There ain't much man principles in anybody. Going with a young lady, he'll stand around, let the lady buy his meals and pay the bills. Man, that puts something up and down my spine. I'd like to get that fella and shake him good. You ain't got any money, don't take nobody out. Those are not man qualities. Those are not the earmarks of a man. And if he'll do that with you before he marries you, he'll let you keep him after you marry. I've worked in too many of those cases. So anyway, amen. God help us. I say, dear ones, we can take lightly tonight the things we've said, many do. But our mix-up in marriage just can cost us our soul. We can join with the Apostle Paul and say, look, Brother Wilson, it makes no difference what trouble I get in. I may go into it blindly, but I'm a Christian and I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's very true. But a little listening to God and His Word can steer you around a lot of things that you wouldn't need strength for to go through. If you listen to God's eternal Word. I say we need to be wise tonight. Psalms 37. Psalms 37, 23. Verse 23 through 25. This will be enough. The time's more than gone. Psalms 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We said in the beginning, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and he that obtained favor from God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he'll not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Friend, it pays to be righteous. I say it pays to be righteous in our moves. It pays to know that we're righteous in our moves and that our steps are ordered of the Lord. And one of the biggest steps you take outside of salvation is that step you take when you choose a life companion to live with all your life here on the earth. That step needs to be ordered of the Lord. Amen. I want to say that if you let Him order your step, you'll delight in His way. You'll delight in His way. Yes, sir. Just assured we're here. The effects, my friend, are long lasting. Oh, how we need this step of marriage, choosing a life companion. I want to repeat, ordered of the Lord. Dear ones, tonight, there's a way to steer clear of many of the heartaches and problems that people are living in tonight. We've only dealt with one avenue tonight, the avenue of marriage, seeking a companion. After all, friend, it's God's ordained plan. Not good for man to be alone. God wants you to have a companion when you come to a mature enough age to really settle on one. But dear ones, it's a great step, and it's a lasting step. It's a step that can bring, outside of salvation, the greatest happiness into your life that God ever afforded a man to enjoy. It's one of the things that God called good for man. But friend, we can overstep and we can step outlandishly. We can step, amen, by our own physical and lustful desires and make moves that'll cause us to reap heartaches and miseries throughout our life. I pray that God will help you tonight. If you're here, first of all, we want to say, maybe you're here tonight and already married and made moves that you're sorry for. Maybe you got a family. You're not saved. Friend, I want to advocate the fact to you that God will help you if you'll come just as you are without one plea. Give up to Him. Thank God He'll take a hold of your life. Amen. And if you'll let Christ come into your heart and life, that'll be one avenue through which Christ will come into your home. And if you'll be true to Him, you'll be true to Him, live for Him, you can win the home for Christ. Then I come right back and make my plea to young people tonight. Friend, I plead with you as young people because it's dangerous to go any farther without Christ in your life. Why, you make a decision, you may make a decision on your own that you'll be sorry for and reap the repercussion of it in your life throughout the rest of your life here on the earth. Don't do it, friend. Jesus wants to help you, and He stands at every man's door. He'll order your steps, and when He orders your steps, you won't have to retrace them. You'll never be sorry for them. Thank God you'll be happy in His way. Father, we've done our best. Lord, we don't feel the message was pleasing to everyone, but Lord, we preach it as Your eternal word and leave it right there. We pray that You'll bless every heart in divine presence. Help us, great God Almighty, to be able by Your divine help lift up a standard against the ungodliness, the heartache, the misery, the sadness, and the despair that a world is suffering out here because they've overstepped Your divine laws. Help the precious young people tonight to realize how important it is to live for Thee and to seek Your righteousness and have their steps ordered of Thee. We pray again for the one that may have sadness and heartache in the home they're in. My God, help them to see that You're a repairer of breaches. You're a repairer of broken homes. My God, may they come and yield their life unto Thee and find the help that only You can bring. In Jesus' name. And we'll give You the praise. Let us stand while we sing invitation.